We'll call to order the Salisbury, September 27, 2001, regular meeting at 6:01. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Town Attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
Town Manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
And Clerk Treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
Okay, please join us for prayer. St. John Paul II, Ms. Michelle, will lead us in prayer and followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Lord God, thank you for the blessings that you've brought upon our town. May these people that represent the town do so when they discern. May they do so taking in consideration other people's arguments and positions so that when decisions are made that they represent the people of this town. Please join me in saying our prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory now and forever. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Brad, I'd like to just ask for us to have a moment of silence and respect for Officer Wayne Nicholson. Just I'd like to observe a moment of silence for him.
Thank you for that, Randy. As many of you probably don't know, Officer Nicholson was former Clark County Sheriff's deputy and very well respected in our community here, so our prayers are with him and his family. All right. Moving forward, a motion to amend or adopt the agenda as presented. Got a motion by Mac, got a second by Scott. Approval of minutes submitted by Clerk Treasurer, also posted on our website.
So moved.
Got a motion by Randy, do I have a second? Second by Matt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Any comments from our public this evening? Okay. We have no ordinances and resolutions, so we'll take a moment here to sign the documentation that's needed and we'll move on along with the rest of our business this evening. So. Thank you, Randy. There is no unfinished business that we have this evening. New business, waiving permit fees related to the renovation of the Salisbury Police Department located at 8757 Old State Road 60. Charlie, is this something you want to discuss?
Yeah, so then just to add to that for a minute, not only that, but at the sewer plant, so obviously we're paying for that work to be done, in some cases be pulling our own permits for these things. Under our current ordinance, we'd be paying ourselves a permitting fee. I think we still need our permits, but it kind of creates internal issue. I don't say issue, it just creates more work internally to try to pay ourselves for the permitting fees and so on and so forth. So all I'm asking is just a motion to waive permitting fees related to permits for the wastewater treatment plant and police station.
Just on those two items?
Yeah.
Just on those two items, correct?
Correct.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, with that being said, I have a motion by Terry and I have a second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you for that. Our second item is commercial liability policies, agent of record. Charlie, you have something you want to discuss?
Yeah, so with that, like we do with our health insurance, we have an agent of record for the health insurance policy base. So that is the single agent that we utilize when we go out and shop pricing for the insurance for the town for health benefits. We have a separate agent that we currently use for property casualty, worker comp liability, and general insurance for the rest of town. What I'd like to do is ask the council to name Jerry Rauch the agent of record for the town insurance, and that way he would go out and be responsible for solicitation and stuff like we do with the health insurance.
Okay. Motion by Scott, and a second. Second by Matt. Any other discussion about it? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. All right, motion approved.
Any comments from the general public? Staff reports.
Sorry, staff reports.
Yeah, real quick, I'm going to let Shannon. Shannon is our water plant operator, and she has actions that she needs for wellhead protection plan. So I'll let her present to you on this issue.
So I had some coffee. All this is every 5 years, the state of Indiana, IDEM, requires us to update our wellhead protection plan. And it just requires us to make sure our information is correct, where our wells are located, our possible contaminant sources are updated, our important customers, like all customers are important, but our critical customer, critical users like schools, hospitals, nursing homes, things like that are updated. And IDEM would like the local planning team, which basically consists of our town council, you all are the local planning team, to review it and see if there's anything that you think is missing or incorrect or add it, and if not, in tonight's meeting will be the date of the review and we can submit it. It's actually due in November, so I thought tonight would be a good night to get this item crossed off the list.
This is something you looked over pretty much under your thoughts and considerations in on everything?
Yeah, I've already looked over. There's actually some letters in there that are being sent to the local fire departments. Just making sure that everyone is on the same page. They're back in the back. But all the information that I can see is correct. And then we also have, which is not included with that, but I've also updated our emergency response plan with the same things, critical users, points of contact for emergencies and things like that. It kind of goes hand in hand. So.
Were there any major changes made from last year to this year?
Well, they only require us to update it every 5 years.
Every 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think that there were. I don't actually, compared to what we had, I think we've gotten some new, you know, like Elkatrine and restaurants and things like that as for the users, but I don't think that we have any new, we definitely don't have any new wells or anything of that sort, but we have just possibly some new critical users that have been added, and then obviously the contacts, which are you guys have all been changed and updated. And then myself and the other distribution operator and Charlie have been added. Not major. I don't know of any, if there is any like new contaminant sources, you know, like farms or anything like that.
Our well's down on the river, so it's pretty self-contained.
Yeah.
There's no sewer, it's all floodplain, so we don't have any sewer issues to worry about. I mean, I think our biggest issue is going to be that Utica Pike's right there, so you potentially have a transportation potential contamination if something, a tanker truck or something were to flip over on Utica Pike and run down the flood wall into the well. I mean, really, that's about the only type of potential contamination issue we have down at the well field. Because it's isolated.
Well, so. They require you to list anything within a certain, you know, like if somebody has a farm and they're using whatever, but we use groundwater, so let's, even in like a worst case scenario, something like that happened, we're not using surface water, we're not pulling it out of the river, it's coming from well below, so it's not really something that would affect us. However, they do require you to list any possible issues that are close.
Yeah, once you get above like Central North Clark County, everybody's surface water as far as where they're getting their water from. So, you know, with like lakes and reservoirs and things of that nature. So you've got a lot of runoff contamination potential coming into the water source. Ours is all underground seepage from the underground aquifers down along the river. So we don't have a lot of those issues here.
Yeah.
What is hydrophase?
That is actually the company that's putting the actual report together, because I've only been here such a short amount of time. But a lot of the information I didn't have, and I wanted to make sure that this was done correctly, so they pulled together the information from the other sources that I just didn't have access to.
Excuse me, Shannon. About 6 weeks ago, I think we did a water study at my area up on Highland. How did overall that water study, I don't know how many communities or pieces of the community you went to, but how did we grade on that? Where did we get an A, B, C, or how did we finish?
We had nobody that came back.
We're good.
Out of all of the samples, nobody came back out of the range.
Yeah. I just knew my own result, you know, from mine, and it was a good grade. I just wondered if we had any.
Yeah, nobody's. We've come, every sample that I had was within range.
Okay.
Nobody's was even out of, not even one was out of the range that the state says is.
How many do you think you did overall?
I were required to get 30 samples,
really?
So 30.
And that was overall community?
That was over the whole distribution area that Solar Spark served. So it would have been some from Riverside, and the majority would have come from Solar Spark, but there were some from Riverside as well.
So I feel pretty special being one of the 30, right? Okay. Thank you.
The lead and copper samples, right now we're required to do them yearly. Eventually we should be able to go, because we haven't had any issues the past, since I've been here. So I'm hoping that eventually we'll go to, I think it's like every 3 years. But we do other samples. We do, like I do back, like, they call them total coliform, but they're back tea samples. I do those every single month. And then there's other bribe samples that we require to do, total halolithic acids and stuff like that are required. None of our tests have ever come back by it. So.
Thank you.
So if it all looks good, then I will put tonight's meeting down as, and we'll submit it, and we should be in compliance.
Do you need anything from us?
Just needed y'all to review it and say you're good. I mean, I don't know if we need a motion, but.
I think just to make it official, take a motion in a second. To memorialize the review of this and accept it for submission.
I'll make a motion.
Got a motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second by Terry. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your hard work and effort. We really appreciate everything you do for our people and our service people. Okay, Charlie?
Updates here. Paving is ongoing. I know they're down working on Polk Street right now, doing some concrete work. There is a area on Ohio Ave that has to be redone. If you've ever seen how the pavers work, you have the paving machine that actually lays the asphalt, and you have a dump truck that backs right up to it and dumps into it. There is a blind spot there where the mud flap apparently got pulled off of the dump truck and worked its way underneath of the asphalt. So if you go on Ohio, there is a perfectly square area of asphalt missing. Didn't know it, they paved over it, they rolled it, whatever. Cars driving over it, it broke up loose the other day. I went out there trying to figure out what the heck that was, because again, it's perfectly square, and it was a mud flap from a triaxle. So if you out in Ohio, it's a perfectly square missing piece of asphalt there. So that's supposed to be, I was told this morning that that would be repaired. They're going to mill out an area there and fix that area. So I was told it'd be done by Wednesday. They're over on Fulton Street now, and they're doing some work back in Covered Bridge on Eagle's Nest. Doing some stormwater and curbing repairs back there. Anticipating, again, paving being done with most of the paving. I think they're moving from Fulton Street. They're going to move down to the south part of Utica here, East Utica Street, south of the railroad tracks, and start working on the concrete there. All of the paving in Sellersburg, with the exception of West Utica Street, should be done by mid-October. So that's parallel and foot, parts of Foothill and Fulton and some areas by Covered Bridge and Allentown Road. So all that should be complete, Greenwood. And then we'll be over here doing West Utica Street. That's probably going to be till the end of November before they get done with that. There's a lot of concrete work, and there's quite a bit of stormwater repair and piping, so that's to be done over there.
What about the curb widening on Allentown there in the S curve? It's already paved.
It's not paved, it's prepped, it's four paved.
Yeah, I know it's wide, but it'll be paved by mid-October.
Correct.
Okay.
So we got that going on. Wastewater plants was in the weekly update meeting here last week about that. It's moving on. Currently, we're still on schedule. We're starting to run into an issue. I think this is just industry-wide. I'm finding in water, wastewater, I'm sure other industries are finding this too, where the fittings and some of the piping, there's import issues. So the state and the federal government, when you use funding, requires you to use stuff made in the United States. Plants were shut down for a while. A lot of things are on back order, so they're having some issue getting some specialty fittings for the sewer plant. So it hasn't impacted the timeline right now, but there is potential that it may impact the timeline. So we had some conversation last week about moving to other areas of the plant and trying to start doing some stuff outside of the area where they're currently working to keep on schedule. So that'll be an ongoing conversation, I think, throughout the life of the project. I want to put a notice out there. We'll release this out on the Facebook and the website as well. We're planning on doing some pretty extensive hydrant flushing October 11th, starting the week of October 11th in town. Probably anticipate about 2 weeks worth of flushing on this thing, different parts of town. So as we get moving into this thing, we'll be obviously trying to keep people updated on that. But we'll have our fall hydrant flushing the 11th through the 22nd. Also, fall cleanup, October 18th. A little bit of a different model this year. It's on the website right now. We are not doing fall cleanup at the sewer plant this year because of the construction. So what we're doing is we have dumpsters set up. We've got to go dumpsters for the fall clean week. We usually just get extra dumpsters delivered to the sewer plant. Instead of doing that this year, what we're going to do is just have them over at Earth First. So there's going to be a separate area at Earth First where town residents will be able to go. They need to provide a proof of ID and a utility bill for proof of residency, because it is only good for residents only, to go over to Earth First, and they can do their dumpster drops as well as yard waste. Again, that's the week of October 18th. Couple of things I'd like for you to put on y'all's plate just to consider. One of them being stop signs. As we've been out doing the paving and doing some roadside work and other things of that nature, notice some areas that are honestly a little bit dangerous. You've got some blind hills coming into some residential areas. So If you all get a chance, I would ask, and a couple of these, we've received requests from the general public. I've asked Chief Wayland to have a look at these as well. Intersection of Alabama and St. Joe East. Come, go into Hillendale and pull out of Alabama at St. Joe East. There is a stop sign on Alabama. I would ask you all to consider to make Alabama and St. Joe East a three-way stop. As you're coming from 60 on St. Joe East, you kind of hit a Blind Hill area right before you pop up at Alabama. And it's, like I said, people don't do the speed limit there, obviously. Just something to slow traffic down at that intersection. Poindexter and Windsor, and Poindexter and Adams Creek Drive. Again, coming into residential neighborhoods, the challenge of Poindexter is Poindexter is not our road, it is a county roadway. So it's something that if that's something you all like to pursue, we would need to get the county, Clark County government, to adopt some type of ordinance for those. But again, they're coming into town residential neighborhoods off of Poindexter, and both of those residential streets are coming up on Blind Hill. So it's pretty dangerous, really, when you come out of there. So again, I'd ask that you all take a ride by those three intersections and just give your opinion, see what you think, and if that's something we want to pursue. Alabama, St. Joe East, Poindexter and Windsor Drive, and Poindexter and Adams Creek Drive.
Did we just do a drainage job over at Alabama and St. Joe? Is that the same area?
Yeah, we did. There was a collapse, a failure over there across from Alabama, and then we've also got a project that we're pending through JTL on some plans to actually relocate some of that stormwater, how it diverts through that area. So we're going to be having a project coming through there here pretty soon anyway. So there will be a road closure on Poindexter at Windsor Drive here, and I'm supposed to get notice from the contractor. We're doing some locates on a gas main that runs through there to make sure we don't have any conflicts. But we're adding a storm pipe under Poindexter, so there's going to be a couple hours one day where Poindexter will be closed as well. So once I get that notice, I'll post it on the website, social media, to give people a heads up. There'll also be signage leading up to the project to let people know so they can be aware of taking a different route. Last thing is, I've had a conversation. I sent over to Jake, had a conversation with Michelle that I like to kind of put on your all's radar. Probably going to be bringing you all a recommendation for an ordinance to establish what I'm going to call a fund for investment. Let's use fireworks, for example. Legion always did fireworks in the past. There was some issue, I think, getting proper permits and different things for the fireworks. It's not anything that the town's really been involved in directly. I think we sponsored or something the overall event, but we didn't do the fireworks display. Well, obviously, last year there was no fireworks display or 4th of July celebration going on with that. I've had multiple conversations with different companies within town who would like to support things like that in the town of Sellersburg. So again, I'm looking at putting together some type of what I call an investment package or a sponsorship package. It's X number of dollars, and here, we'll give you recognition and all the other stuff that goes along with that. I need a way to bring those dollars in and a way for those dollars to go back out for these events, basically is what it is. So I've had a little bit of a conversation with Jake. We'll get together and get it on books. But I'd like to obviously bring it to you guys so that way we're going through and saying, hey, yeah, we're going to have a fireworks celebration or Christmas in the park, or pick something, right? We're doing whatever it is. But then they are sponsored events, and it's just an annual sponsorship or investment from a company or somebody within town or donations or whatever it is that we can then bring those dollars in and use them for those type of community events. So just kind of plant that seed with you on that. That's all I have at the moment.
All right, thank you. Josh Hellman from JTL. A few things for us tonight.
I do have one item to address tonight. I forgot to hand it out.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. This is a cleanup change order on the Perry Crossing lift station. The first page of the document is just a summary sheet to break down for you what the three items were that were additional on the project, most of which were related to deterioration that had happened in existing items at the station. The second page is the official change order. Perry Crossing lift station had significant deterioration. We replaced a number of items in it. had to do bypass pumping. Right before the project started, the contractor went out where we had a failure in the system. They agreed to go out and start a couple phases early so that we didn't incur other additional costs related to the pump station improvements. So I'd like to request, based on review with staff, a recommendation for a $6,234.81 change order. And Lori has been in the loop on this throughout the entire project. All the additional information is backup, just things that went on during the project.
Good and smooth?
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So with the change order, it adds, if I'm reading this correctly, 56 days.
It is adding days to the contract so that the contractor is not assessed liquidated damages on the project. The added days were where we asked them to go out and start the bypass pumping early so that we would not incur additional costs. But that's just because we had to issue them a notice to proceed so they could do that work. We knew going into the project there was a very long lead time on materials. So when they started early the bypass pumping due to the failure, we wanted to go ahead and add in those days so they're not assessed. The contractor had done everything we've asked them to do throughout the project.
If you recall, right before we started this project, Councilman Boyd and I had this conversation that the reason for the repair, the reason we were doing the repair was to prevent some failure from happening. Well, that failure happened right before they were starting the project. So there was one conversation about us actually installing a temporary line from the manhole to entry covered bridge and actually blocking that entry covered bridge down there. We were able to work out a different, basically a different process, and this is the result of that.
All right, so with that said, anybody else have any other questions about it?
Anybody else have any other questions? All right, so that said, I ask for a motion to approve the $6,234.81 change order.
So
got a motion by Scott.
I'll second.
Got a second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Okay. Town Attorney, did you go?
No, sir.
Okay. Terry, you got anything tonight?
I want to congratulate Matt on being a new grandfather.
Yeah.
I have congratulations.
And no, I'm good. Whether we're paving Greenwood Road here in the next couple weeks and all the utility work will be done prior to that, so no, I'm good. Thank you.
Scott, you have anything to say tonight? All right, give you some time, I think.
I do.
Okay.
Fire hydrants. Where are we at with replacing fire hydrants as part of this water?
We have one right now that they just finished replacing, and it resulted in a fairly lengthy and messy repair in Cooperdale at the intersection of Hoss and All Hands. And then they have one, they're moving over here to New Albany Street to get ahead of the paving crew at Hoss Lane in New Albany. And they're moving to Greenwood Road, installing a couple of valves on Greenwood and have a hydrant back in the back of Greenwood to do before the pavement gets over there. Then we'll start getting to the meats of hydrant replacements.
Jake, I have a question for you as well. It's been something that's been brought to my attention. And if it's not to be said here, then please stop me. But I received a couple of messages about a flag hanging on the side of a wall of a house, which I would assume would be protected by First Amendment speech issue. And numerous messages in poor taste, regardless of affiliation. I think that you know, there has to be some decorum and honor when you speak of leaders of this great country. However, I've also been told that if the flags are causing a distraction for drivers on the roadway, causing people to stop, slow down, you have children crossing the street, You have vehicular traffic on that street, and it's the danger, if you would, or the distraction is emanating from this attraction. Wouldn't the general public's safety supersede that, for the good of the community, supersede that First Amendment protection?
Great question to start with. Sounds more like a law school question, but you're accurate. Those type of questions become very fact specific as to what it is potentially causing. So if there has been reports here, the town, or certain reports made to the police department where there have been some issues, that's something we can definitely take a look at. And I'm happy to potentially address that with letters and or other legal action. But that is a very fact-specific set of circumstances. So I would encourage maybe yourself, me, Mr. Schmidt, maybe the chief of police, if there have been those types of complaints, or if something has happened out at one of those residences with some explicit messages out there, there are certain avenues that we could potentially take.
I mean, I'm all for that. I just, like I said, I don't want any accidents to be caused on the street, or any children being in danger due to the inattention of drivers. Lord knows most of them are all not focused on their phones as they're driving half the time.
Sure.
And regardless of the poor taste and signage, which is someone's right, and I understand that, but also the good of the community, the good of our community is at stake as well. So that it's been brought to me by several people, and I think it's something that the chief, myself, and you, and Charlie, and whoever else here, we should take a look at. We also have a reputation here in this town to uphold.
Absolutely. I'll start looking into that.
Thank you. Nothing else, Brad.
Matt?
Thanks for the kind words. I'm the two grandchildren, so both are healthy, both are doing good, they're all at home. So other than that, just proud of seeing the direction that we're going with all these projects that are going on right now. So I want to thank everybody that's involved in the town in getting things accomplished. That's it.
First of all, I'd like to thank Michelle for the budget meeting and keeping us where we need to be, and just appreciate your work and all that you do. And our other Michelle, thank you for all you do, Michelle. I think behind the lines, these ladies do a lot more than we realize. Other than that, I'm real happy with the paving that's going on, and continued improvements in our infrastructure. You know, it's hard to put a price tag on our infrastructure issues, which are huge in lots of areas. But I'd like for people to realize that we are moving forward, and with the budget that we have, I think we're doing all we can this time. And outside of that, I'm just really have a burden for the officer that we mentioned earlier. Just a tragic incident, one of those things that lets you know how life, how precious it is, and that we just need to appreciate each day. But continued prayers for the Nicholson family, and whatever we can do as a person or a town, we just need to let them know that we're supporting them. But, that's all I have, Brad.
All right. Once again, kind of like you, Randy, I enjoy seeing the activity going on here within our community. I know there's a lot of different things. I'm hopefully excited. I was hoping that Charlie's going to sit there, and I don't know if we need to bring it up a little bit more to one thing before another thing that I want to bring up. Have we gotten any application, or anybody ever shown any excitement about the funding, the match money that we've got moving forward?
Yeah, we've had three or four inquiries about the facade grant. I don't know, Michelle, have we had anybody turn anything in?
No.
I know, I've personally spoke to four different businesses about that, what they are looking to do, and will it work, will it not, and I think they're just going through their due diligence now to see where they fall within there.
I know, I also, you know, once they, people start watching a little bit, they saw the ad and, you know, the paper and everything, so I know that was, you know, the topic of conversation, and I tried to get everybody to reach out, you know, to us here and get a little bit more knowledgeable about it, but we are here to help them in every simple way possible. I know, also, I'd like to see if we can maybe do a workshop on the ARP funding and the monies that we've got, so maybe we can sit there and kind of get it out there in the open and give at least everybody an opportunity to understand, that wants to understand what we want to do forward. So, I mean, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that too was we applied for the SWIFT grant on some of that stuff. Those fundings came out. Oddly enough, we were not selected because our rates are so low. They looked at low-income communities first, and then for wastewater projects, they looked at communities with a wastewater bill of over $100 a month, and they looked at a water bill of over $75 a month on average, and they looked at communities for stormwater who have a $15 a month or more stormwater fee. So for our average users, they don't exceed those numbers, so we weren't considered for any of that funding. So now that those SWIFT grants have been awarded, and obviously I think we can start repositioning a little bit to see where you all would like to go with ARP monies for next year. So again, we've got just over $2 million to use. Sounds like a lot, really. I mean, we've got some wastewater and water projects, so you know, we can do one project to take up almost all that money. So it's really how you all want to engage with that and whatnot. So obviously I think a workshop would be a great idea.
How long do you think that that we would need for this workshop? A couple hours or
yeah? Yeah, I said we start with an hour and see how it goes, and if we need to go longer, we can do that. Okay. We can reschedule a second one or however you...
So everybody kind of keep in mind maybe here in the next, I know, like I said, I think fall break's coming up, so I don't know how many families are going to be going somewhere for fall break or anything like that, but I think if we kind of get a good jump on this and probably move a little bit forward a little bit quicker now that we know that we are a I mean, when I first got on this council, and they said it was a rich town. I mean, I know we are a good community and everything, and very well blessed, but it's hard to get a lot of these fundings and stuff like that. And once again, it just goes to show that, you know, we are within our limits and our ranges. So don't ever feel like we've been beaten up by any means from people's, you know, thoughts of why we raise our rates and as we have, because they've never been raised for so long. And so this is just another example and another proof that we are, you know, one of the cheapest communities to live in as far as when it comes to water and sewer and other utilities and things like that. I know Charlie, he's very excited about trying to get a lot of our drainage opportunities in certain areas, and I appreciate that as well on that. So. Yesterday, I said I played in a golf tournament for the Sewer Creek golf team, and I know they've got a lot of high expectations. They had a nice crowd out there, and I really appreciated it. I know Matt Rasson appreciated all the support from those folks. It was a beautiful day, and it looks like we got a beautiful couple weeks here coming, so everybody get out and get everything cleaned up and ready to go. And don't forget, for everyone out there that didn't hear, our for all October Earth First ID and the utility bill will be required at Earth First starting the week of October the 18th for your fall disposal due to us building a $20 million sewer plant expansion. We will not be accepting any type of trash or large items or stuff like that. So October 18th be the first start of it at Earth First. Will we be able to go out there, I guess, on Saturday, correct?
Yeah, the hours are on the website. You can go to sewerpark.org, and it's on there under events. You can see it on there. It tells the time. I think it's Monday through Saturday. I think they're open on Sundays. Again, you can take large items and whatever. I mean, there's a list of stuff you cannot take there. Again, you know, if you have your own couch or recliner chair, things like that, they'll accept. And obviously yard waste, too, and all just goes over Earth First.
Okay. All right. And lastly, I too, being in this seventh year, Michelle Miller, thank you very much for getting our budget and everything in line, and we're looking forward to moving forward, I know, moving into 2022. Michelle, you have anything to say?
Yeah, the 2022 budget pre-adoption public hearing will be October the 11th during that council meeting at 6 o'clock. And the final adoption will be on the 25th at 6 o'clock during the council meeting.
Make sure that we know that.
So she didn't have a microphone back there. So October 11th?
Yes.
At 6 o'clock will be the
pre-adoption public hearing.
Public hearing for the budget. October 25th will
is
be
the final adoption
of the budget for 2022.
And so the notice to taxpayers can be found on Gateway, on Indiana Gateway.
So Indiana Gateway, you can go on and find the notice. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Okay.
That's all right. It.
Well, once again, I appreciate everybody coming out in our crowd tonight, and look forward to moving forward into the fall. I ask for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion by Scott. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Matt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same time, nay. 6:42.